be so proud of you guys. Before I dive into uphill habits, it's an uphill habit to live for Jesus Christ and to make that decision to go public with your faith. And I want you guys to know we're praying for you. We're so glad to have you in the family. And there's your certificate, Ross. She gets one just like yours. And God bless you guys. We love y'all so much. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I'll get one from you, too. How about that? You want to say anything to the microphone? Say what's up. That's good. All right. Okay. All right. So, if you don't know what baptism is all about, we teach about that actually in step two. Is it step one? Step two? I get confused. Yeah, in the growth track. And love to have you come. Actually, in step one today. We'd love to have you come and be a part of that. 1 o'clock, we teach about that. We try to baptize on the third Sunday of the month. And really what it is, it's the first thing we're commanded to do once we become Christ followers. Once you become a believer yourself in Jesus Christ, once you put your personal faith in Jesus, you can do that anywhere, anytime, and it can be a very private decision between you and the Lord. But God says it only stays private for like a very small amount of time because he wants you to go public with your faith. When we say there are no black ops, clandestine, special forces, behind the scenes, undercover Christians, we are to be out there with our faith and vibrantly living out our faith in the community and in our circle and the places we do life. So baptism just is a way to let everyone know that, hey, I've made this decision to cross over from death to life and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we do it like this so you can let other people be a part of that decision and kind of see what you've decided to do in your heart. So if you haven't done that, we encourage you to do that as soon as possible. And again, you can come hear about that today and schedule that for the third Sunday of the month if you would like to. So, all right, a couple of things about uphill habits. We've been talking about this. This is our last Sunday, so you guys should be well on your road. We have four habits you've already talked about, so you should be well on the road to being all squared away. Are y'all set now? Y'all all good? You haven't done them long enough to become habits, so it takes 21 days, you know, they say 6 to 8 weeks, 21 repetitions for something to become a habit for you. But I want to encourage you, if you're trying to form new habits, if you're trying to do that, and remember, you know, we form habits and then habits form us. So if you want to form some good habits, you got to stick with it for a while. You got to stick with it for long term. In the next week or two, we'll start seeing a major drop off at Dynamic Dimensions Health Club with all of us who are regulars there are looking forward to, because it gets really crowded in January or so, and all these people come in and like, I'm going to get in shape for the new year. And by week three, they're like, I just want another king cake. So it's hard to sustain it. It's hard to stick with it. But if you'll stick with it 6 to 8 weeks, it just becomes a lifestyle. It's like it feels weird for you not to go work out or to walk around the block or whatever, you know, how you're trying to do. So give yourself some time. Stick with these habits. Remember, we are what we repeatedly do. That's what we've said over and over and over again. So we want to repeatedly do the things that lead us to the better things in life, the uphill things. And what we have said is most of us have uphill hopes. We want something better. We really do. And I want something better in my relationships, in career-wise, you might have that. Maybe in your health, there are things that you hope for. But we said hope is just a starting point. Hope is not a strategy. It's a great motivator, and Scripture talks a lot about hope, and I'm glad we can have hope. You know, we need hope, but hope just kind of gets us going. It won't keep us going. To keep it going, you have to have a plan. To keep it going, you have to do something consistently differently. And if you'll do that, you really can develop some habits. They are uphill, which means they're not easy. It'd be a lot easier just to coast. It's a lot easier just eat the king cake and sit on the couch, right? That's easy, but it will not take you where you want to get to. So if you want to do something different, become something different, you're going to have to commit yourself to some things over time. They're not always easy, but the good news is the God that we sang about just a few minutes ago, the God that I prayed about when we started our service a few minutes ago, that powerful, mighty, creative God is on your side. He is with you. He is for you. His Spirit does live in you if you're a Christ follower. He does, and he can empower you to make those changes. And they're good changes that lead to life and blessing. They lead to good things. They really do. But they're not easily attained. You have to commit yourself to them and walk with God on this journey. And sometimes it's a tough uphill hike. It's a tough walk. But you absolutely can do it. So we looked at four different habits so far. The first of those is focusing on what I do first. First of our year, you know, that's why we do 21 days of prayer and fasting at the very beginning, to commit the first of our year to God, the first of your month, the first of your week, the first of your day. First things really matter. There's a priority of first principle that we see throughout Scripture, that what you commit yourself to first really does have a huge impact on all the rest. In fact, if you'll commit the first things to God in every area of your life, God will bless the rest. And that's just a principle we see over and over and over again in Scripture. So we said your first habit has to be to make the first things the most important things and really do that consistently over time. And then we said you've got to align your life with your purpose. That was the second habit. We help you do that again through the growth track to really figure out your purpose and then do those things God created you to do. And if you don't do that, you won't have any fulfillment in life. If you don't do that, you get to the end, it's like, what was that really all about? It was just like, you know, Solomon said, it's like chasing after the wind. It was meaningless. Why was I even here, really? You know, so don't waste your life like that. Discover purpose. We help you do that. Make a difference. And if you'll align your life with your purpose, that's a great habit to have that, again, leads to fulfillment, leads to blessing. And then we talked a little bit about, what I talk about after that, it's been too many weeks ago. I know we talked about, you guys are sitting by people, so you know what it was. It was about relationships. Remember that? How many of you have had like some of your greatest pains and your greatest joys because of relationships? I mean, just honestly, you know, I'm not going to ask which one you're in right now for the people around you or whatever, or somewhere in between. But, you know, but really some of our greatest pains, our greatest regrets, you know, the things I wish I could get a do-over in the most sometimes are our relationship things. And so we just tend to just kind of bounce into relationships and not be intentional. Either we just get wounded and build up a lot of walls and seal ourselves off from intimacy and deep relationships, or we just kind of go wherever we feel like going in relationships and just kind of, you know, date whoever, marry whoever, you know, hang out with whoever. We never really think about the impact of those relationships on our future, but they have a tremendous, tremendous impact on our future. So we said one of the things you have to do is develop a habit of forming good, solid, godly, positive relationships that will help move you in the right direction. So we talked about that and purpose and first things first. And then last week, I like what Pastor Steve did, my mentoring pastor who was here last week. If you didn't get to hear that, go back and listen to that on the podcast or on our website. Steve just talked about, you know, you have these great changes you want to make, you know. These are big goals that you have out there. But you got to start with like bite-sized pieces. You got to get this thing into little stuff that you can actually like do today. Or you get to the end of the year, you didn't do anything. And so you got to just do something. You know, I'll just walk around the block in the morning and walk around the block in the evening. We're going to start there. You got to start somewhere in all these different areas, whether it be in your finances or your health or relationships or your walk with God. You have to just start somewhere. So he talked about that last week, and I love how he broke it down into like bite-sized pieces. Like, well, I could do that, you know, and maybe I could become that, but if the goal is to become that next week, it's not going to happen, or to get my finances like that next week, it's not going to happen. But if I could just take some baby steps, yeah, we really could get there. And he showed us example after example after example of people who've done that. So I love that. So today's is one that could really be like a bedrock to all of these. And it's one that when you hear it, you're like, I don't even know if that's possible, but it absolutely is. And this is the habit of just controlling your thoughts, not controlling other people's thoughts. I wish I could do that, like, bzzz, but I can't do it. I can't pull it off. I've tried. It doesn't work. But in fact, I've aimed my remote control at Sharon. She's not here this morning. She's sick, so I can talk about her a lot. And so, but anyway, no, I'm just kidding. She is sick. Y'all need to be praying for her. She's been sick since Monday, so keep her in your prayers. No voice and coughing a lot and just has not started feeling better yet. So she really feels like God is giving her a break to focus on him. And that he's teaching her some things, and she's kind of growing and resting in this season, using it to prepare for the next season God has for her. But do pray for her healing. I know she'd love to have your prayers. But, you know, I do that with the kids or with her. I just point the remote control, and it doesn't change their thinking. And the point is not to change their thinking. The point is to change my thinking. And the question is, can you really do that? Can you really change your thoughts? Can you really change the way you think? Is that even really possible? And I'll just tell you that it absolutely is possible. There's no doubt in my mind that you can do this and that God can do this in you. And we're going to kind of break that down just a little bit. I want you to go back to our theme verse for this whole series, which is Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, out of the message. And I don't know if we have this whole thing up top or not, but I'll just read it to you. From this idea of fixing your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-informed maturity in you. So the key is fixing your attention on God and letting Him change you from the inside out. And as we do that, He really does change the way we think. He really does change our thoughts. We really can change even the thinking patterns that we have maybe been a part of us and our personality and who we are and how we do life our whole lives. It may even be generational, and that's how mom and daddy thought, and that's how my grandparents thought, and that's just the way our people are. That's not necessarily true that you have to stay that way all of your life. You can absolutely change your thinking. God can help you control your thoughts. He absolutely can do that. So I'll give you some examples of that and why I believe that to be true. Look at, in your notes there, Ecclesiastes 10:2, from the Message paraphrase. It says, wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. Okay, so this isn't rocket science, right? You do stupid things, and it leads to bad places, bad outcomes in your life. If you will think about things and be wise and make the next wise choice, that leads you to life. That leads you to blessing. That leads you to some good places. So you get to choose. You get to choose your thoughts. And sometimes I think we buy into this lie that I can't do that. I mean, just whatever's in my head is in my head. And however I'm wired is how I'm wired. And it's just my personality. And it's just kind of how I am. And it's just, I have no control over it. I mean, I'm in all these situations, and I really don't know how I can change all those situations and circumstances that I'm in, and it just feels a little bit hopeless sometimes. But you absolutely can change, and if nothing else, I hope to give you some hope today that you can change your thinking, you can change your thought life, and God really absolutely can do that through you. And then I want to hopefully give you some tools to kind of help you actually begin to do that if there are some areas that you need to change in. Okay, let's just kind of go through some of these in our notes. First of all, you got to buy into that. You can change the way you think. You can change the way you think. Romans 12:2, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. Another way of saying the verse we looked at earlier, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. By how? By changing the way you think. So that wouldn't be in Romans if it wasn't possible. If God couldn't actually do that, he wouldn't have said, hey, this is something you need to do. God's not going to tell you to do something that he doesn't give you the empowering and the capacity to do. In fact, that's what I love about God. He never says, hey, stop doing this or start doing that, or you know, start doing this with your ethics and your morality, or stop doing this thing that's wrong or messed up. God never gives you a command to do something or to stop doing something without giving you the power to do it. He will never say, hey, stop, you know, falling into that temptation without giving you the power to escape that temptation, the way to escape that temptation. Something I pray with Micah every day on the way to school. You know, we pray together on the way as we're driving, and my eyes are closed, and I drive by faith, not by sight, and it's amazing. I'm better at it than Ricky Bobby. Don't watch that movie. But anyway, okay. So anyway, but we're praying on the way to school. And one of the things I always pray, and he'll pray if I'm not praying, and is God, you know, show me a way out of temptation. Because there's some temptation at high school. There's temptation where you work. There's temptation in life in general, right? Show me a way out of that temptation, and then give me the courage to take that way out. Give me the wisdom and the courage and the strength to take that way out that you provide for me. God will always give you the way out. So the deal with this idea of changing the way you think is you've got to realize that God absolutely can do that for you in big things and small things in your life. And God, by the way, is not the only one who says this. I mean, that's enough for me, but he's not the only one who says this. I was reading an article in Psychology Today back in 2016 by a guy named J.R. Thorpe, and this is what he said. He said the adult brain, now this is all based on like MIT research, and that's a school that's, I mean, they're like, you have McNeese State and then just barely above the MIT, but it's a really good school, okay, just so you know. And but the adult brain is capable of physical change and rewiring. So he said it's absolutely is capable of this. And he goes on and gives all this science about the plasticity of the brain and neuroscience and all this stuff. And he says, but probably that's going to be out of reach for most people. And so he comes back and he says, yes, you can, you know, change your habits within limits. He says various scientific studies have demonstrated ways in which the brain can be altered without the need for a lobotomy. And that's just where they you know, cut some stuff up and make you feel happy all the time. And so he says, you know, there is a way to do this. He said, do-it-yourself brain rewiring may be on the market at some point in the future, but for now, it looks like your best bets are thinking positive and doing mindful meditation. In other words, you can change your thinking, but you have to be intentional about what you think about. So science backs up what God says. You absolutely can change your thoughts. You absolutely can change your thinking. You absolutely can grow in this area. Okay? So you can change the way you think. The second thing you have in your notes is you can choose what you think about. You can choose what you think about. You think about all kinds of stuff. And there are all kinds of messages that you're seeing all the time, all kinds of stimuli that kind of pops up in front of you, and you have a choice to make. How are you going to think about that? Is that thing that you just saw that, for example, for men, this is a big one for us, is that woman that we just saw, is that going to become lust? You know, and we there's a line right there. We can cross that line very quickly, and that goes from just, she was an attractive woman. Thank you, God, for the glories of your creation. No, don't, that may be getting too close to lust. Okay, so maybe you just kind of stop before you get there and say, well, you know, God, that was temptation. God, I feel tempted to lust right now. God, help me just to not think about that. Help me think about what Pastor Terry looks like on stage instead, and then you will have no issues, right? And so, but you know, God, help me not to fall into lust in this, and just, you know, choose to think about something positive. So you know what you're. I don't know, Joyce Meyer wrote this whole book called Stinking Thinking, I think is what she called it. You know what your stinking thinking is, you know? You know what that is for you, and whatever that is, if it's negativity, if it's things that lead you towards depression, if it's lust, if it's things that lead you, if it's coveting other people's stuff, whatever those little triggers are, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. The enemy doesn't have any new tricks. The stuff he's been using on you or things he was using on people in Bible days, and there's nothing new, okay? So those triggers, you know what those are. And they're so ingrained in you, you may think you can't do anything about them, but you can. You got to identify what those are and where those are. And instead of going down that road and thinking about that and entertaining that and kind of letting that visual play out in your mind or that storyline play out in your mind, you've got to stop right there and say, God, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to think about that situation that way. I don't want to think about them that way. I don't want to think about myself that way. God absolutely can renew your thinking. You got to think about some different things, though. He says, and this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, Philippians 4, 8, and 9, these are the things we're supposed to think about. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So fill your mind with those kinds of thoughts. If it doesn't pass that test, I mean, sometimes it's just mundane stuff at work you just got to think about because you're getting paid to think about that stuff. And, you know, but I'm talking about the things that impact your mood and your character and your morality and how you feel about yourself and how you connect with other people and how you relate to God. Those kinds of things, pure, lovely, admirable, worthy of praise. Those are the kinds of things we want to be thinking about. That's kind of the filter we're trying to run things through. There's a guy named Dr. John Maxwell who's one of my favorite guys out there. He's getting old now. I got to see him last year at an event I was at, and he was a pastor for years and used to do the everything rises and falls on leadership, and then he repackaged that so he could sell more books and called it the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, and then he repackaged it again and called it the 360-degree leader. So this guy is great at repackaging the same stuff and making lots of money. He's really good at it. And so now he almost exclusively works with business people with his leadership principles, so that opens up a door for him to bring them Jesus Christ, and it's fascinating if you ever want to hear how he does that. It's absolutely incredible how God's using him to reach people who are very, very far from God in the business world out there, the corporate world out there. But he talks about, for himself personally, there are five things that he tries to focus on every day. He says, every day, I'm going to try to do these five things. And it's what he challenges his organization and his team with also at his company. He says, every day, I want to lead, because he's a leader, he's a big-time leader, and I want to lead well. You know, I want to lead in a way that honors God, that honors people. He said, I want to grow. Now, he's 70-something years old. And he says, I still want to grow. There's more I want to learn. There's more out there for me. And so, I mean, that's a big commitment to have. You would think at some point, you're like, I've learned everything I need to learn. And some of us get there when we're 16. But I'm just saying, you know, he made He made this decision, I'm going to keep on learning and grow. And so lead, grow, and then create. Every day he wants to create. He doesn't want to get stale and just kind of sit back and just like, I'm done. You know, every day he's trying to create something new and keep those creative juices flowing. He understands. So at the end of the day, every day he's asking himself, hey, did I this day lead? Did I grow? Did I create? Did I excel? And the excel part is just connected to the word excellence. Did I do what I did today, whatever that was, to the best of my ability? And then the last one is serve. You know, this isn't about me. I'm here to serve my God. I'm here to serve Jesus Christ. I'm here to serve other people. Did I add value, the way he says it, is did I add value to anyone else's life today? In fact, he refuses to share Christ with anyone that he hasn't added value to first. In fact, he's had people come up to business people like, tell me about that part that you didn't tell us about in the conference that you said, you know, what was that all about? And it's all about Jesus. And he said, well, you're not ready for that yet. And he will not share Jesus until he has served them, until he's added value to their lives. And so it's amazing. So every day at the end of the day, he just says, hey, these are the five things I wanted to do today. Did I do that? He boiled it all down. So you got to think about the right things. You've got to figure that out for you. What are the right things that you need to be thinking about? What are the roles God has put you here to play? And what's the thinking you need to have to accomplish those things God has put you here to do? And then the last one on this part is just you can control where your thoughts take you. Your thoughts are taking you to a destination. Your thoughts are taking you really to multiple destinations along the way. And you get to choose that. You don't just end up somewhere in life. You don't just end up with all kinds of relational dysfunction. You don't just typically end up with all kinds of health issues. You don't typically just end up with all kinds of financial problems. For the most part, those are made one decision at a time. For the most part, we get to the places, either good or bad, because of some things we've done along the way. And all of those things that we do is rooted in our thinking. So you got to understand that you choose the thoughts you think, and the thoughts you think ultimately choose the destination. They choose where you end up at. Romans 8, 5 through 6 talks about this. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. So you're dominated by the sinful nature, and you're thinking about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. So sinful thinking, serving your sinful nature, that pleases the evil one. That leads to death. Death in your relationships. Death in your character. Death even in your health, right? Can you see that? That leads to death. That messed up acting based on messed up thinking, ungodly thinking leads to ungodly practices. It leads to ungodly outcomes. And God just summarizes those ungodly outcomes. It's death. And it shows up in all kinds of areas in our lives. Or you can, instead of that, have spirit-filled thinking, spirit-led thinking that pleases God, and the scripture says leads to life and peace. Life and peace. What we love to do in our Best Shalom sessions is help people get to a place where they have life and peace in their inmost being, in the heart, in the core of who they are. We say that Best Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, the absence of chaos, a place of peace. And just think about your own heart and your own mind and all the things that go through your head and all the things that you feel and kind of connect with and relate to throughout the day. Is it chaos or is it peace? And God says there's a path that leads you to a place of life and peace. That's the destination for you. But you got to choose to make some tough decisions to stay on that path. You got to choose to let your thinking change. Okay. So how do we master this habit? How can we actually make this a reality? And again, none of this is rocket science. It's pretty basic, but you just got to do it. Okay. The first is to surround yourself with spirit-minded people. Surround yourself with spirit-minded people. And that just means, you know, people who are on the same spiritual journey you're on. People who are trying to move forward with God. People who are trying to, you know, move to the high places of life and blessing that God created them for. Who are trying to discover their purpose to make a difference. Who are spending time in God's Word and being sharpened. And you can sharpen them and they can sharpen you. Spend time with people like that, with spirit-minded people. And again, we talked about that a lot in the Relationship Sunday, but your friendships and the people you allow to influence you, I believe more than anything else in life, influences the direction and the quality of your life. So you got to think that through, and it's like, how do I surround myself with people to the extent that I can control that, you know? I mean, you know the home you're in, you know the place you work, and to the extent that I can control that, how can I have relationships that are going to help me on this journey to think good thoughts? Because you can all think very quickly of the people you know who help you think bad thoughts, right? In fact, when you just see them, you think bad thoughts. Like, you know, you want to pray down fire from heaven or whatever. You know, or they're just kind of negative and they kind of pull you down. Or they're kind of representative of a lifestyle that you're trying to leave behind. And when you're around them, you're always feeling that tug and that temptation to go back into that thing. And that leads you to death, you know. So you got to think that through and say, God, are there some spirit-minded relationships I can commit myself to? And I just encourage you, you know, it's not really difficult to do, honestly. One thing you can do is just commit yourself to being here and engaging, you know, on Sundays. Just commit yourself to that. Commit yourself to building some relationships, and I encourage you to do that through our small groups, you know, or through a ministry team, to build some really solid relationships where they're going to pour into you and you're going to pour into them. You can all absolutely do that, but you got to make a decision to connect with other people. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another daily, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So I want to do good things, and I want to encourage other people to good things, but if I'm going to encourage other people to do good things, I've got to be around those people. And if they're going to encourage me to do good things, I need to let them be around me. I've got to put myself in spaces and environments where I can have them speaking into my life and I can be speaking into theirs, okay? You track them with me? That's not hard to figure out, right? Okay, so if you want to really have this habit of mastering your thoughts, you have to surround yourself with spirit-minded people. And you can absolutely do that. So I invite you, come today to step one of the growth track if you haven't had that yet. And we're going to tell you all about what it means to be a Christ follower and what it means to really share your faith with others, why that's so important, making that connection with Jesus Christ. And then next week, come to step two, and we'll help you understand how you connect with your Crossroads family. And how do you, what are the ways you can do that? How can you very practically make some steps to really connect in relationship with some other people here in this family where this isn't just a place you go to church, it's your family, and you know it's your family, and they're there for you, and you're there for them. You're part of this team. You're part of this family. You critically need that. I can't tell you how important that is for your life if you want to change your thinking and change your thoughts, okay? So number two, again, not any rocket science here, is spend time soaking in God's Word. Spend time soaking in God's Word. You gotta take it in and digest it and figure out how you're going to apply it. Let God show you, you know, this is what you just learned, but here's how you apply it to your life, you know. You gotta soak it in. You gotta spend time in the Word of God. You gotta soak it in. And again, we try to help you with that as many ways as we possibly can, you know. We give you the sermon notes like this every week so you can take notes and take it home with you, you know, and have all that right in front of you. Put it in a little binder we give you for free out back in the information center. You can pick one of those up today when we're done. And it's just a great way to kind of go beyond just hearing something, which they say in studies you'll forget about 82% of within 24 hours, which is really encouraging for me to know. But I understand. I can't remember what I taught. Like, last series, I don't even know what the last series was. I'd have to go back and open up my computer and look at it. You know, so, I mean, I understand. I get it. But if I write it down, and then I actually apply it to my life, I begin to do it, then all of a sudden, man, that retainability, that actual change that comes as I apply the Word, that begins to really get rolling in my life. So take good notes. Do that. I encourage you to do that. Get the little binder and do that. I encourage you also on our website, if you don't have a good kind of a direction in the morning and how to start your day with God each day. We have daily devotions that I write those every morning except for Sunday morning. I'm kind of busy on Sunday mornings, but those get posted every morning. They're on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter, they're on our Crossroads page. You know, they're in a wide variety of places. So spend time in the Word of God that way. And they're always just very practical. Here's a scripture, and then here's how you apply this to your life. You know, here's kind of what it means and how you live it out. You know, very, very practical. Every week we have a memory verse. That's also on our website. You can just memorize those. That's going to help you get the Word in your heart. One of our scriptures from Psalm 119 is, "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." In other words, I can move towards life and blessing, not sinful directions, as I learn your Word and hide it in my heart, as I begin to soak it in and then let it change me from the inside out. So you got to spend time in the Word, and you got to spend time with people who are in the Word and on that same journey with you if you want to change your thinking. And then just the last one. And I'll also say, I just had this written down. I encourage you on the music side. Music is a powerful medium in our culture, and it's why we do worship here. I mean, we want to connect our hearts with God. Every Sunday, you know, we sing these great songs, and Eric will always take and put those on our website. He'll tell you where those are and actually give you links that you can click to go to those songs. If you want to buy them on iTunes or somewhere, you can go to those songs and actually listen to those again. But one of the ways of spending time in the Word is filling your mind and your heart with these songs that reflect a heart that's after God. You know, if you listen to David Allen Cole, The Perfect Country Song, and I Was Drunk the Day My Mom Got Out of Prison, then that thinking, which I know that whole song, by the way, you know, for all the wrong reasons. But anyway, you know, I had a history, but I'm not going to tell you about it right now. And so, anyway, if that's what I'm listening to and filling my mind with all the time, that's going to influence my peace with God. That's going to influence my thinking, okay? So music, what you watch on TV, what you watch on YouTube and those things. You know, we were watching stupid cat videos last night, and very entertaining. Nothing bad about it. A couple of cats had a bad fall, but other than that, it wasn't bad. And so I just encourage you, you know, fill your mind with things that are blessing. We always have worship music playing in our home. If you come over there, the laptop's always open, and it's just always playing. Oftentimes here on Wednesdays, we always have worship music playing during the day here. On Saturday nights, from the time prayer ends on Saturday till we come in on Sunday morning, there's worship music playing in here. We just try to fill the environments that we're in with the presence of God, with the praises to God, you know. And I just can't tell you how important that is. So that's just a little something you could do that could really help you on your journey and really change your thinking. You're filling your mind with the things of God. So spend time soaking in God's Word. And then the last one is one that I need you to really try to track with me on here, okay? And that is silence the evil one by submitting your thoughts to God. Silence the evil one by submitting your thoughts to God. And you may not have thought about this one. This one's not psychology today. And this one's not as obvious, I don't think. But you do realize that there is an evil one. There is an enemy of your heart. There's an enemy of your mind. Satan and his power is very real, okay? And his voice can be very loud. And you can come to really believe the things that he's speaking into your mind and not even recognize that they are coming from him. These ungodly beliefs, these lies that we tend to make agreements with over time, that they just become part of our identity, part of our personality. It's like we have these voices in our head. And I don't mean like, you know, the crazy guy had voices in his head, but we just hear these voices. We hear these words. We believe these lies and these little accusations, these little insinuations, these little innuendos, these little inferences about who you are and who you're really not, and all these little things. The enemy's just constantly trying to bombard your thinking with those things. But you don't have to take that. You can absolutely submit yourself to God, take authority over that, and cut that off so those things are not going through your mind. You actually block them, block the enemy, so he can't put that stuff in your head. Got Billy Jones sitting up here. Did you go home and shave like you said you were? Look at that. Billy got all clean shaven. You shaved the top of the head too? Amazing. Billy came up and prayed. He said, I'm going to go home, and if you're going to talk about me, I'm going to shave my head. And I said, good. So this is good. You can come read your future in this too if you believe in that kind of thing. And, and get a second opinion from Luke Rhodes' head over there. But Billy said, you know, after he had his Beth Shalom session, he said, what surprised me the most and what I wasn't expecting, you know, he had a lot of healing. God did a lot of beautiful work inside of him. But what totally shocked me and caught me off guard was what I didn't hear anymore in my head. Because I was just constantly hearing this and hearing that and this accusation and this lie. And it just this conversation, just constant like conversation going on in my head, you know, all these different thoughts. And he said, I was just so shocked that that was all just silenced. It was all quieted. Am I making anything up? It's all legit, right? And what he did was he submitted his mind to God. He welcomed the Holy Spirit to come into his thinking, and he blocked all the things from the enemy from coming in and just speaking all that untruth, all those lies to him. And you can absolutely do that. You have that capacity. You have that power. You have the authority that Jesus Christ has. If you're a Christ follower, the Word of God says that all authority on heaven and earth was given to Jesus Christ, and we share in his authority. We share in his inheritance. We have authority over the demonic forces that would come against us, okay? Most of you don't know how to wage that kind of warfare, but I'm telling you, it's not rocket science. You just have to be aware that that's the reality of the world that we live in and know how to engage that and use the tools God has given you to fight that stuff off. So this is what I recommend for you. You hear us pray every Sunday morning at the beginning of the service some form of what we call the submission prayer. And if you come for a Beth Shalom session, you'll hear like the whole prayer like you see it written in your notes there. And I want to encourage you to make this a part of kind of your daily routine. I try to pray this each morning before I even get out of bed, before my feet even hit the floor, before anything can come into my day, before I can turn on my phone and hear some bad news from the CNN alert or the 7 News alert, before I can get, you know, 3 texts of something that's going on in my family or a Facebook message that's going on, you know, up in Oklahoma, up in North Louisiana. You know, before any of that stuff hits, before any of the flow of the enemy comes, I want to submit everything to God. Before I can start thinking and processing, my mind doesn't wake up for about another 20 minutes when the caffeine kicks in from the coffee, right? So in between kind of waking up and really waking up, I just submit it all to God and I silence everything that's going to come against me. I take authority over that stuff and I release all the good things of God, the blessings of His Spirit into my thinking, into my heart, into my life for today. And I just try to make this a daily routine. And I just want to encourage you, you can do that. You don't have to have a Beth Shalom session for that. You don't have to go to some course for that. You just begin to pray this over yourself as you start your day. Start it this way. And the prayer is simply this. I submit myself to you, Jesus. I submit my will, my rights, and all control to you. I bind, silence, and detach all principalities, powers, rulers, authorities, dominions, and thrones in the atmosphere around me, in Jesus' name. If you're not so sure about that, go read Ephesians 6, 12, and Matthew 18, 18. You'll see this read. It's rarely read in Scripture. I bind, silence, and detach all demons. I cancel and stop all communication between them. What you're hearing in your mind all the time. I bind all accusations. I lose, or I release the sevenfold spirit of God. You may have it. So if you want to go read the verses that this comes from, I release the sevenfold spirit of God. And this is what I just prayed for my day, for my family, for Crossroads here. You know, Spirit of the Lord, come. Spirit of counsel, come. Revelation, come, things God that you know, I can't even grasp with my human understanding. Spirit of knowledge, come. Spirit of the fear of the Lord, Jesus Christ, come. As I begin my day, it puts me in a place to think thoughts that are filtered through only what God wants for me. I can control my thoughts, but really, I'm kind of joining God. I'm yielding control. Probably a better way to say that. But I'm not thinking the way I used to think. I'm not doing the things I used to do. I'm not ending up at the places I used to end up. I'm moving to places of life and blessing, the high places of blessing. And you can all absolutely. I think, again, it's the foundational habit that we almost kind of talked about. But I think putting God first, this is so foundational. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you want to change with in every area of your life. So I want to encourage you to let Him do that. Isaiah 26:3, which says, you, talking about God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Would you stand with me as we pray for you this morning? Just close your eyes for prayer. If you're here today and you say, hey, you know, I'm struggling, you know. I know I think about some stuff that's not godly. It's definitely not leading me towards godly things or places. Realize that today. Maybe you never realized there was hope for you. The change could come, but you didn't. I commit myself to this habit. I commit myself to learning how to control my thoughts and change my thinking, walking with God as He teaches me this. If that's you today, just pray. Start the journey with God. The first place for you is just confessing. That's the beginning. Make things right with Him and get your sin taken care of. That's the starting. Many of you here have already done that, but if there's anyone who hasn't, you know, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask you how you those who were baptized, you know, made that commitment. If you're wanting to make that commitment today to Jesus Christ, start again, start fresh with Him. Would you slip up your hands? Yeah, that's me. I want to make that decision today. Let's pray together. Well, God, I want to start that journey with you today. I just say thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for new life. Thank you for fresh grace. God, for what you've done in my life. God, I just have tremendous hope for those people who made that decision today to put their faith in you. Because I have seen what you've done in my life and so many others who are standing here this morning. So your word says that if we'll confess our sin, we'll own up to it and admit it. Not try to blame it on somebody else, not deny it, but just confess it. And you are faithful to us to forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In other words, if we get a clean heart, we get a fresh start. So if you're here today and you need to confess some things to God, just confess. Just say, God, confess to you. My own brokenness and my own mistakes and bad choices, I confess all of that to you, God. Says there's those things you just confessed. That penalty is that one word answer of death. It's just separation from God and all things good in this life and in all eternity. That penalty is paid for by Jesus Christ. So would you just tell Him, hey, Jesus, I believe you did that for me. I believe you died on that cross to pay for me. Up, you know, that's coming to our head. and say, hey, that's not life and blessing that would take you to those places. Heads up and help us to immediately just say, okay, God, what do I need to be thinking about? What's the right thing? What's the wise choice? I'll give you a chance to. God, I pray that we'd be consistent in submitting our will, rights, and control to you, and to binding those things that would come against us, to releasing your spirit. God, always leads to you.